All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Imperium Podcast. I am your host, Freddie, and we have a very special guest. And I'm actually going to let our guest introduce himself so that we can go ahead and get this podcast started.
How's it going, Freddie? Hi, my name is Javier Valenzuela. I was born in Agua Prieta, Sonora, Mexico, across Douglas, just a small town. I mean, I haven't been there, but immigrant. Son of two immigrants, hardworking immigrants. I came into this country, I would say, 3 years old.
Dang it.
So that's one of those things that I'm all like, I'm not from here or from over there.
Yeah.
But I got both of that kind of culture in me. But coming over here, I remember, that's why I remember, I'm all like, it wasn't my earliest, fondest memories of being here. It was when, like, my mom would take me to her, like, odd jobs.
Yeah.
My mom graduated beauty school up in Mexico, but she brought, you know, she had to do what she had to do over here. Right. So we would go door to door selling home interior. And back in the days, I know a lot of people don't know what that is, but back in the days, it was like a magazine where they would show products like, hey, we're selling this table and this, and my mom would get commission.
Oh,
that was the only way she would get a job you know, a green card. And, but she would also cut hair. So we always go to bus, and her to keep me calm and quiet was coloring books. And sometimes she will have a magazine called TV y Novelas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a good magazine. And I remember she would always tell me, hey, Javi, draw me this guy. And I'll be in the living room while she was either cutting hair or showing off, like, the material, like the home interior stuff.
Right.
And I'll be just coloring. For years, I was just amongst women. So I was always quiet, always calm, always just drawing. And I don't think it was her intentions to, like, give me that kind of a tool for it to be something.
It was more just,
but
like,
just to calm me down.
Yeah.
But when she started seeing talent in it, like natural talent, she started buying those, you know, little colorings. Even the bingo dabbers. Do you remember?
Okay.
They don't exist no more. Because now I tell kids right now, I'm like, have you ever seen the bingo dabbers? No, mister, what is that?
Yeah.
Because I guess it's all digital now.
Right.
But my mom will bring them, and I will just start coloring everywhere. Don't color on the walls. That's another thing, all right? She was very proud of me. But, once I started coloring on the walls, don't, all right? So, but, yeah, and the daily struggle was just being an immigrant kid right here and trying to, like, once I started going to school, like, not being able to, like, communicate with kids, because my native tongue was Spanish.
Okay, so
I went to Drexel Elementary.
I know Drexel.
And we're talking about Southside in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was rough. And that's when I started, like, okay, you know what? I didn't know English at that very moment in time, but facial expressions is a universal language.
Right.
And a lot of them was like, I remember, would say derogatory words to me because I was in my little boots, you know, like I had that style of like Mexico. And I mean, all these kids are wearing like Nikes and Ninja Turtle shirts and stuff like that. But I got bullied quite a lot during like my first grade. I remember, and it's quite like what I remember, because I don't remember a lot, but you always remember certain things in life that like,
yeah,
it triggers the mind when like certain things happen.
Yeah.
And I just kept to drawing and kept to myself. So I would say that was the thing that led me more towards just concentrating on just drawing and that at a young age, because I didn't fit in. Okay. So what I do best was, well, draw.
Yeah.
But it wasn't pain, it was just drawing at that very moment. But yeah.
Dang. Yeah, guys, if you guys don't know, Javi, because I know you did tattoo art. You were a tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he's a future famous, world renowned, artist.
If God's willing, yes. I'm working towards that. And that's another thing that I'm telling people. Like, I'm always nervous because I don't want to come out sounding like cocky or anything like that. But the thing is, have self confidence in you. There's always going to be people out there that are going to make you seem like, hey, you're being cocky. Construction sites, when I was already working, I mean, I'm going a little bit ahead of myself, but like there were always, once some of my work started getting in galleries,
right,
well, you know, you're proud of yourself. You come from like literally you're assuming that your life is already set. You're always going to be working construction. You're going to work a 9-to-5 and then eventually die.
Right, right.
But this one, I'm like, hey, I'm doing this. Hey, galleries. And this is the coworker.
Yeah.
Ah, que mamón, te crees Picasso? Ah, ya te crees. And you could constantly hear it. You keep to yourself again. Like, that would bother me. I was very, like, sensitive on that topic because I'm like, oh, damn, am I coming out something to God? No. Have self-confidence in you, because if you don't got it for yourself, nobody else is going to have it for you.
Yeah.
You got to follow the lead. You can't follow the lead.
Exactly.
You got to lead.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes, brother.
Yeah, no, and that was something we were talking about, too, previous to the podcast. Cause I had to go get another chair. I had to go get another thing of water. I had this man waiting for a long time. And, who do you know that doesn't have confidence that's doing something, you know, out there? So it's like, it's very important. Sometimes it can be interpreted in a negative manner, but, you know, it's not always the case.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You just got to keep going. And then once you start hearing that kind of a somewhat negative, like when they're clowning, because, you know, Mexican family are always going to clown you. It's healthy sometimes, because it'll give you a thick skin.
Yeah.
But exactly. When it comes to, like, no support, like, in certain areas,
that's
when you know, oh, wow, they're really, like, kind of, you know, just your near presence after you doing something good. They're being dickheads. So you know what? You just have to brush it off. And that's when you start noticing, I'm doing something with this. Yeah. You know? You're doing good. Because if people keep quiet, you're not doing nothing at all.
Right, right. I like it.
Yeah, that's how indicator. It is. So once you start hearing these things, the negative is going to come out a lot.
Yeah.
But just, even my dad said it best. My dad once got mad because, you know, some will clown on me kind of hey, what, se cree Picasso? And you know, the same things that I just went through. And my dad goes, are you doing it for them? I'm like, no. He's all like, right? So do it, because you said you wanted it dedicated to your mom.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the people that are actually willing to buy your art, that are showing the love, the support. Do it for them.
Yeah.
You're concentrating too much on this side when right here is the path that God gave you and walk.
Dang, man.
Why are you looking back?
That's something I feel like I can relate with. I mean, anything you do, like, because things that I know hate only comes from the bottom. It's like nobody doing better than you will ever hate on you. That's something that I'm just like, wow.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
It's one of those things that, like, because once you start approaching a certain type of level, like with me, there's a mini documentary out. I've done some galleries. I started talking to people that have done galleries, that have done interviews and stuff like that. Same positive mind state.
Yeah.
Nothing negative. And if it's criticism, it's constructive.
Yeah.
And it's only helping you out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And once and I come back, or, you know, I bump into old friends and stuff like that, they still have that same, it doesn't change. It's just the same replay, kind of a deja vu kind of thing. Yeah. I'm already kind of thinking out there, but I'm coming down and I'm still on the construction side, like 4 years, 5 years ago.
So
it's on the bottom, brother.
So, like, what advice would you give? Let's say me, because I'm not going to lie. I've encountered that situation, certain times. And it's, like you said, like, it's always from the bottom. It's just like,
I got two key advices. First one, surround yourself with positive people.
Okay.
Kind-hearted, positive people.
Right.
Because they'll bring out the best in you.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, no matter where you're at, no matter what you do, just the simplest, just their presence will just bring out that energy.
Yeah.
It's like your mom, your grandma, stuff like that. Right. You know, people that just don't have to do much, but they take out. But don't be that kind of person that you're only around them when you need that energy. Give it back.
Yeah.
You know? Like me, I've been working. I'm a high school engineer.
Okay.
And I've always been quiet. They told me you have little to no interaction with the kids.
Right.
Because you're only going to be fixing things that are broke. But I draw attention. I mean,
right.
I stick out like a sore thumb. But all the kids, they helped me, and some staff have helped me to come out of my bubble, because I was very quiet, very withdrawn. And just by meeting them and talking to them, like, you kind of start noticing that, you know what? They give you that energy.
Yeah.
And you give it back.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, that's what it helps you. Another one And maybe this is a little bit off topic, but I've been using this for the past few years and it has worked wonders for me. Because you can use it on relationships, friendships, and business-wise. Don't let your heart have revolving doors.
Okay, break that down for me.
Because let's say you bring, you know what? There's certain events and certain people that come into your life and totally turn your world upside down.
Yeah.
And if you're able to escape that, then there you're a better person for it. And you become stronger.
Okay.
But if you let that negative energy come back,
yeah,
and you already, because they're going to come back once you're doing something more up here.
Right, right, right.
And with that, just kind of, if you have that revolving door, then it's just going to bring you back down.
Okay.
All that effort went nowhere. Know when to walk away, know when to stay away. And even in business-wise, people that, even in business-wise, even if it's just business, people that saw no potential in you when you were barely starting,
right,
but now that you're making a name for yourself, now they want to come back. Do you really want to make business with a guy like that?
Right, right.
People like us, we do everything with passion.
Yeah.
We approach things with such passion, with such heart. Not everybody has that. Not everybody is willing to take risks.
Right.
Because they don't have that passion. And where does passion come from? The heart.
Yeah.
You have revolving doors, and that's a dangerous thing. Friendships, relationships, business. Don't let that, all right? Please, that's the number one right there. Yeah, like I said, a little bit off topic, but nah, on the sense, it will help you.
Yeah,
A mere sting compared to the heartache and headaches that will lead to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man, I like that one. Just that itself. Like, damn, I just learned something today. I'm like,
thank you, brother.
Let's talk about kind of how, let's talk about how we met, you know, or actually, let's talk about how you started with tattooing.
Well, tattooing, all right. I graduated Sunnyside 2004.
Okay.
And I remember, well, I won. It was an art contest amongst the city, the state, or something like that. I even went to Phoenix. But I did a Tupac drawing. It was called the Watercolor Guild. Arizona Watercolor Guild. See, I still remember it. And I won second place. And that money, I won like $1,000 or something like that.
Okay.
And that money was going to go towards Pima.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I'm like, I was excited. Things were going to happen. And once again, it was just old pencil. I never had the patience for painting.
Yeah.
But that pencil drawing got me they would call it a scholarship for like Pima.
Yeah.
And all right, I went one semester. And me being an immigrant, I didn't have a works permit.
Okay.
So they called me in, well, once I was done for my first semester, and they told me, hey, Javi, the government can't keep paying your education.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know, don't have those resources that we can give you. But you can finish the semester. I don't know, what's the point? I'm like, if I finish and I can't pay it out of my own pocket, I don't have a job. So this is a wonderful man right here. This is Ismael Contreras. He's been another older brother of mine, but I see him as a father figure as well.
Yeah.
But he's been the man. He's my brother's friend, and he took me under his wing because he always loved my art. Yeah. He always loved it. I was also glass engraving at one time on lowriders.
Dang.
And when that happened, bro, it just tore me inside.
Yeah.
I always hit the books. I struggled to graduate high school.
Yeah.
But I managed to graduate. I put in the work, and once that happened, that they took away the scholarship, I don't think necessarily, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's more technical words for it, but, you know, that's how I saw it at that very moment.
Right.
Now, imagine being 18, you're living in the hood, your friends are from the hood, so you're angry.
Yeah.
And I always had supportive friends, thank God, the ones that I still have to this day. While me and Randy, we weren't the most, that's my best friend right there, we weren't the most productive members of society when I left the scholarship thing, because I was so mad, and I always assumed, I assumed, I'm like, hey, fuck it, you know what, they're not giving me what I work for, so I can't get a job to get 9 to 5, so, you know, I'm just gonna do whatever,
right?
So, you know what, I started stealing cars, and you know what, that's one of the things that I'm not proud of, but it molded me, it shaped me,
right?
But I was doing it just for kicks. Because all that things that people say, oh, no, you had to do it because you didn't have nothing for you.
Right, right, bullshit.
That was just my excuse because I was a young kid and I didn't know how to process that anger.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I could have stood in the corner, sold oranges.
Yeah.
I could have sold waters.
Yeah.
And that's more, say, more respectful.
Right.
But I just wanted to do it because I was just angry.
Yeah.
And, I mean, no excuses, but, you know, it led towards that. And Izzy, that's what we'll call, he's my Nino, by the way, now. And he actually saw that I was doing that, and he got pissed off. And he goes, Javi, what the hell is wrong with you? So what happened with the art? And I told him, because back in the days, you know, there was no Facebook media or texting that much. I mean, it was still in its infancy.
Yeah.
So he comes up to me and he goes, he used to work at a tattoo shop. And he would make them the machines.
Yeah.
And he goes, Javi, come to my shop. I got something for you.
Dang.
And I'm all right, cool.
Kind of whooping you in line. Like,
and and he made a tattoo kit for me. So there I am once again. I'm all okay, and he starts telling me, he shows me how to tattoo.
Yeah.
Though he wasn't a tattoo artist, but he was always amongst that.
Right,
he took me to tattoo conventions and stuff like that. And because of him, that led towards me just dropping that kind of a menace life, that thug life, and just stick to the tattooing. That was giving me income.
Yeah.
Though I wish I would have done it better, but there I got an excuse. And kids, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to learn tattoo, apprentice. Me, I got that, but hey, that's all I had.
Right.
And that helped me out a lot. He steered me out of that kind of a life.
Dang.
And that's what I started tattooing, and it's kind of weird where, like, I didn't become a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Because life tends to zig and zag and lead you to where you have to
be. Yeah.
And no matter how hard it is that you want to approach certain things, nope. What's written for you, it's written, and you got to. Some of us have free will, brother.
Yeah.
I believe in that. And you can do what it is you want to do and do everything that you want to do with your capabilities. But certain of us, we already have a destiny, and it's marked.
Right.
Because I'm all like, it's weird that I never became a tattoo
artist.
But, it led me towards just later on keeping on the art.
Yeah,
keeping
on with another stepping stone.
Yeah, because I wasn't drawing. I was just tattooing. But it was art.
Heck yeah. Man, I got like so many questions that I could throw your way, but I'm going to try to keep myself structured. So how did we meet? Talk about how we met. What were you going through in life?
This is hilarious. This is how us hood kids, even just men, even us men, because like how we bond is so weird and barbaric, if you want to say it, put it in those words. But when me and you met, well, we were going to a boxing gym called Red Nation Warriors. Shout out to Kyoshi. Love Kyoshi. That's another man that I owe a lot to. And we were going to a boxing, and we first had the cardio. We'll do the cardio, quiet. Never said hi to him. He never said hi to me. But our trainer, Kyoshi, saw that both of us were kind of the same height, same weight. There you go. We have a sparring match. So he'll first thing we ever did before we even said anything to each other, throw chingazos, then shook our hands, and then we became some of the bestest of friends.
Like if you don't know what chingazos are, it's like just getting hit in the face really hard. Yeah,
we threw punches first, and we will go hard because sparring had to be calm. Like, oh no, it's for you to like later on pick up that kind of skill for later on to know what to do. But no, we will go hard. To a point that I would tell this guy, I'm like, hey, once I clock him good, I'm like, hey, are you all right? And you go, no, come on, go. And all right, so three rounds of just going at it. This guy busted my nose, and there's a picture that I got that my nose is crooked 3 days before my fight.
Oh, damn.
And I remember Kyoshi, when it was Thursdays, was a sparring night. And Kyoshi looks at me, and the man would rarely give you a break. And he goes, Javi, you know what? Sit this one down. We got to save that nose for Saturday.
Yeah. Oh,
he even had to pop it back in that one day. You didn't even go. I remember you didn't go, but I was you see I'm doing this on the picture and you see it crooked.
Yeah.
I mean, like this. But yeah, good time.
Yeah, man. No, we had a lot of crazy experiences. That, when it comes, like coming back to your art, what style and why? Or actually, let me interrupt you.
Go for it.
No, that's a good one. Yeah.
Your style, why? Because a lot of people ask me, where did you get that style? And everything landed by accident. And this is another thing that I'm trying to say, that, you know, I don't want to come out sounding cocky or something, but this is actually because I don't know the art lingo.
Right.
And once, I always wanted to be, I don't know much artists, the history of art, which is weird, but I always wanted to be like a Leonardo da Vinci, like the realistic, because I love those oil paintings and stuff like that. Right. I always wanted to be paint something that looked like a real picture, and it will never come out. And painting, I mean, that kind of style of art became like the closest thing that will come to realistic was what I ever put on the canvas. But then out of frustration, because I didn't know how to blend in colors with the background, I would do a thick outline around it.
Okay.
And then I start doing a thick outline on a bunch of things. Yeah. And all right, I just didn't think nothing of it, put it aside. And all of a sudden, I started developing my own style. So I'm told, you know, I'm not saying that I did. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there also. But a lot of the, like when I go to like the galleries, they've been telling me it's a unique style.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have like a crossover with some other artists and stuff like that, but it's somewhat unique.
Yeah.
And one lady actually told me that it reminds her, and I'm like, I see it now, like stained glass. You know, when you go to churches, they're like, oh, okay, you know. But to me, it was just, I'm an overthinker. I'm always constantly thinking. So I just do. And this is the advice that I tell kids, because I'm my own worst critic, that it comes to a point that I'm like, I'm never satisfied with any of my paintings, to be honest. Once they're done, they're done. But I don't like it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm never satisfied. I heard a saying an artist never stops. Oh, no, an artist never finishes his work. He simply stops. Because now I see works that I've done 3 years ago, and I'm like, man, I should have added this. Man, I should let it go, Javi. But people love it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of them. That's the style just came about because, you know, when my mom died, I went a full year. She died in September 2018. So around like it was already close to New Year's, you know, to 19. So that full 19, I just, you know, did the drinking, did like wallowing on my own self-pity.
Yeah.
You know, just really just trying to escape something. And you know what? That doesn't help. Because now you add the drinking, it makes you forget a little bit. But then in the morning, you have that same pain.
Right.
And then tack it over with a hangover.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, not well recommended. So it's double trouble. And I don't, and I'm saying that I never liked painting. I didn't have the patience for it at all.
Yeah.
But once I decided to do it, I start painting, and it was helping, giving me that outlet to just release some of my overthinking and just my stress and that kind of like what happened.
Right.
But yeah, and started after a while, just started developing my own style.
Yeah. I don't know if it's too personal, but let me know. I'm still gonna ask.
Go for it.
Bro. What was the situation with your mom, and how did that affect, you know, the way you paint now?
Well, my mom. All right, this was a educated, hardworking woman, and then she's one of the ones that like showed me how like my dad, like construction and stuff like that, or like he's an old school kind of man.
Right.
My mom was a hustler. Yeah. She was always coming, like I said, hey, no car, let's take buses. Hey, no green card, well, we could do it at home.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing like that. So she kind of showed me that. So seeing a woman that active and so proactive and just being happy and laughing and stuff like that, what led to it was, I think, little by little, like she started deteriorating because resources started becoming less and less. Like law started getting a little bit more harder for like immigrants and stuff like that. So after a while, you know, she let go of the cutting hair.
Okay.
And that led to just her just being by herself, and one thing led to another, in which I know she wasn't the healthiest, eating healthy and stuff like that. She developed diabetes.
Okay.
And at one point, I remember I was living in Phoenix and working over there, and I would come in the weekends, and one day her left arm was hurting. And she goes, I fell, and she did. And I'm like, well, we gotta, and this is another thing why even me, like, it's hard for me to take me to a hospital or something like that. I'm just a duct tape on over
the room
kind of guy.
Same.
My mom didn't want to go. So I called my tías, and my tías came and took her by force. And it so happened that her left arm wasn't hurting because of the fall. It was because she had a minor stroke. And that kind of led like around, I was maybe 24, 25 years old. I was in the boxing, like around that time still. And that kind of, after that, no more cutting hair.
Yeah.
She let go of any other like side projects that she was doing or trying. And then the depression came in. And that pretty much deteriorated. It's trying to, like, to me, the best way I was trying to describe me holding my mom's health was like a ball of sand and trying to keep it intact. And little by little until it all fades away.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, well, she died in 2018. For like 10 years, I was, you know, with her and taking care of her. And the 2018, 5 years, those were the ones that she really deteriorated. To it became to a point where she had another stroke. She became like not mobile, so wheelchair. And just, you know, it was just.
How was that on you, man?
Coming from a person that, like me, my sister, my brother, like the only form of affection that we show people into like a hug comes from my mom.
Yeah.
My dad is a strong, quiet guy, good sense of humor. He's a funny guy. But me and my sister, my bro always laugh because we're like, we always give my dad two hugs. And that's on his birthday and on New Year's Eve.
Oh, dang.
But the man loves me and I love him. Like, we're weird family.
Right.
But my mom was like, to me, seeing that and not knowing how to process that emotion, you know, talking about it or like, you know, telling somebody about it. And the only one that really helped me out was Izzy, my Nino.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would talk to him, but I only say so much and I didn't want to show my emotions. Like, even right now, I'm like, I'm trying to hide that knot on my throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I got good at it because throughout those years. But it affected me so much that kindness that I had in me for a while went away.
Yeah.
Because what people need to understand, because I remember the nurses were like, hey, you know what, Javi, your mom's a guardian angel.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm her guard dog.
Dang.
So, you know, when she died and people that at one point I thought they did her wrong, I just went out.
Right.
You know, everything just went out the window. To me thinking positive, to me being in a positive like mind state. I'm not gonna lie though, but it was liberating. Okay. It's a bit liberating, and which is weird for me to say it, but when you constantly always trying to be a people pleaser and trying to, you know, always constantly
have, you know, I see what you're saying.
And once that went off, like,
you're like,
I'm okay, there you go. I went Scarface more like it's certain people that I shouldn't have done it, and I truly apologize. But the thing was that led me towards that down spiral, and I didn't draw or didn't do anything for 5 years, not even tattoo.
Wow.
At all. I had to drop it. And when that came back around, I'm like, I was just thinking, and this is kind of like what led me like towards the painting, because of my mom. She always asked me, paint me a Virgen of Guadalupe. A Virgen of Guadalupe. And I will never do it. I will never understand why. But once again, at that time, I never liked painting.
Right.
And she goes, I want you to paint me one. But when she passed, you know, I had two, three paintings that didn't look like they look now. And those are important to me because it shows you that transition to where I became now. But I was painting the Virgen of Guadalupe, and then I felt sick to my stomach because I'm like, now that she is gone, now I'm doing it for her.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that, like, the irony in it. Like, I'm like, oh, God, like, why now?
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm like, okay, I started painting her, the Virgen of Guadalupe, like a skull, like a Katrina.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Day of the Dead, you know, the makeup and stuff like that. And sure enough, well, I started doing it. And I think things happen in the right time. Because if this would have happened, like, say, in the 90s,
right.
Nobody would have known I was an artist. Because now social media, we live in a social media kind of world. And I posted it.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, my friends and, you know, everybody loved it. And I didn't say much of the story behind it because I didn't want to throw myself out there that much. But then all I had in mind was a public. Facebook is public. And one lady sent a message, hey, this is very disrespectful.
Oh, wow.
And I'm all like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then another lady followed and so on. And but then people that I never met came to my aid and they're like, hey, you know, first of all, art is all about the freedom of expression and stuff like that. And they started like, you know, defending me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that was the first moment that I'm like, holy shit, man. look what we started. And because of that one very painting, I got the attention of like the crew. Shout out to Raices and Raices Taller. That was the first ones that gave me my first show.
Like, and platform, they put
that one very painting on the gallery on the Day of the Dead gallery.
Yeah.
And but it was for because of my mom that led towards that.
Right.
To me, to like, it was all that pain, all that anger, and if you see the painting, you see the like even the little angel. I paint him as a skull.
I've seen that one.
Because that's how it affected me. I didn't know how to verbally express myself.
Right.
But I did it in painting. Yeah. And all the emotions that I went through at that very moment in time when my mom was like deteriorating, I was able to do it. And that's when the, just man. How you say the rest was just history.
Again, those negative comments, man. Like,
exactly.
What was going through your head once you?
I was nervous. I was scared because you know how I was like, well, me, I'm Catholic. Well, you know, right now I'm full of the teachings of Christ, but like I had to be Catholic and I'm still considering myself Catholic. But the thing is that we hold strong values when it comes to like the imagery. Right, I always respect everybody's religion because I come from that kind of a situation that I'm like, maybe because your religion is not my religion, doesn't mean I should disrespect it.
Right.
But I'm like, my intentions weren't to disrespect it.
Yeah.
And us from Mexico, we celebrate Day of the Dead.
Right.
And that's to celebrate, you know, our loved ones that have passed. We paint each other like the Katrina. I understand that right now probably everything just went more commercial and it's no longer has that kind of that value that like family kind of value.
Yeah.
Because now it's just on lowriders, on tattoos and stuff like that, right. Which it's all right. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But some of us Mexicans still hold that.
Yeah.
And when she said very disrespectful, the last thing I need to do is disrespect my Virgen of Guadalupe. Yeah. She knows I never meant to do that.
Right.
So I'm like, no.
Hey, was this someone like you knew or
no,
just like a random person?
No, just a random person.
Okay.
And then the random person followed.
Have you had any other incidents after that? Like when it comes to social media, stuff like kind of haters, as they say?
Yeah, but at that one point, that was the defining moment where I'm like, you know, that's when my dad came to me too. He goes, que te valga madre.
Exactly.
You know, you sigue haciendo lo que tú necesitas que hacer.
Yeah.
That's all been my dad. I mean, he's right. So, hey, I come to like the understanding and this kind of a, like, say the art world, you're not going to make everybody happy.
Right.
And so be ready for that. Okay. And I remember when I first started my art, like my first art show, she goes, Javi, because she explained, I explained her, you know, the comments that I got because of the Virgen of Guadalupe. And she goes, Javi, you're such a sweet soul, but I got to give you a heads up. And this art world, he goes, you're going to catch a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Because you came in like by like a freak accident.
Yeah.
Because my intentions weren't to like be an artist and have my things in like galleries. It was just the door slightly open. And boom, I just fell in. And it's like, look at the Irish. And hey, how you doing? So then that's when she started saying, hey, you're going to have people that deliberately are going to say comments to bring you down. Because think about it. She goes, there's some of these artists have worked all their life to be in galleries. Right. And they're barely starting. Yeah. And you, not even a full year, and you have two paintings in a gallery. And then, you know what? Me as a person, I could see it, you know? Because, how are you going to have a good work ethic? Yeah. And then here comes somebody, and boom.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I'll feel a little sting. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, hey, they're haters, but I will feel that sting, you know? Yeah. I feel for them. But, like, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to do. But that's why I like to, like, at least, you know, ask questions and be friendly to everybody and, you know, pick their brains and ask for advice. And that's one of the things that I took that approach. So, it's the yin and the yang, brother.
Yeah.
You're not going to make everybody happy.
Your brand, because I've noticed you're starting to do printouts now. Mm-hmm. You're getting, like, official, bro. Like, and I'm just like, man, like, what advice would you have for someone trying to go ahead and start up their own brand?
It will go back to like positive people.
Okay.
And then make sure to be firm. Because we were talking about this earlier.
Right.
Because I'm like, me, if it was up to me, I'll be giving them away.
Yeah.
And I'm not making no income, and it's not circulating.
Yeah,
not
right.
So, I mean, you got to be tough.
Yeah.
And I come across a lot of people that I'm like, oh, no, but I'll give it to you. No, the real people that want to support you, that will come, and they'll like, here you go, Javi. My cousin is the first one. I'm like, because I need to still put sleeves in it. And, like, my cousin Mariano, he's the one that bought two of them. And he's all like, $50. No, you could take them. No, you're $50. Got to show support.
Hell thank yeah.
you. You know, like, and that's the thing. You got to surround yourself with smart people that know where to guide you. Okay. Once again, my Nino Izzy is the one that's been always like, he knows everybody because he's been working amongst like the making the tattoo guns and stuff like that. So he made a lot of connections. And we recently we went to the tattoo show up in the casino.
Okay.
And he knows everybody. And I'm like, it's quite amazing because, you know, one of the hardest things to do is like impress tattoo artists.
Right.
The ones that have been like sick artists, the ones that now you see work and it's just ridiculously out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been showing, like, he knows a lot of them and I've been showing them my work and they absolutely love it. Like, it's been a favorite amongst tattoo artists. Right. Anthony Reyes, Labor Temple Tattoo, and also Marshall, Junior Marshall. I hope I'm saying that right, but he also has a painting up on the wall on his tattoo shop.
Oh, dang.
And Anthony Reyes also has one of my paintings up in his wall. So it became become a favorite. So amongst that, throw yourself out there as well. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, go out there and whatever it is you do, whatever work, me as an art.
Right, right.
So it was a smart move. That Izzy, my Nino, told me, let's go to the tattoo convention. And then we come across Victor. He works at downtown as the Reproductions, Inc.
Yeah.
And he's the one that, hey, bring it here. Because I wasn't able to scan my work.
Okay.
Because they're too big.
Yeah.
So he goes, I got a scanner. We got a scanner right there. We got people that will help you. And sure enough. So that's how it came about.
Networking, basically.
Exactly. Like, just throw yourself out there. Push, knock doors.
Yeah.
And if they don't open, knock it down.
Damn. You know?
But yeah, I mean, you just have to constantly, like right now it's brutal because, yeah, you know what? It's hitting my wallet.
Right.
But we got to come to think about it, that it's going to, if you do it right.
Right, right.
It's going to come back. Like, the money that I've been making right now for, like, the little reprints and stuff like that, I keep it aside. Don't spend that money.
Yeah, yeah.
That money is going to go back to more reprints, and then it's going to go on to more future ventures and more products and, you know, things that you want to do. But stay focused. I mean, it's all right to have fun here and there, but, yeah, stay focused.
Heck, yeah.
And just have a smart person next to you.
Right.
And that's it.
You ever get nervous? Cause I know you've done you did the mini documentary. I'm pretty sure you've spoken to other people at the same time, people that admire your art, and it's like they come from different backgrounds, different subsets. It's like, you ever feel like you don't know what to say?
Oh, all the time, really.
I mean, how do you overcome that?
I mean, it's one of those things that I'm like, once you start talking, it's to me, I never like being the center of attention. And it's kind of weird because you see me and I stick out like a sore thumb, you know, like I'm constantly drawing attention. But I never did. But people ask me questions and I try to answer it the best way I can.
Right, right.
And I mean, I don't think of myself as an articulate speaker.
Yeah.
So I always think I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to screw it up. How am I going to say it?
Bro,
but they see the realness and they are drawn to it. So naturally, when somebody is genuinely wants to know about you, remember how I said good people will bring out the good people, the good side of you. And that's how it is. And that's one of the things that I constantly am getting nervous. With you, I wasn't nervous because, you're my homie. You know, we've been through years, yes. So I'm like, right now, it's just, we're talking like if we would have been at a bar right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But when I first had the documentary, and I remember he came in, nice guy. Sure enough, he's all like, I'm going to ask you these questions, but now I'm standing like this. And I'm all like, oh, God. And I'm thinking kills you, bro. I'm all like, and now, once again, I'm an overthinker.
Yeah.
So when you ask a question, I'm all like, I'm going to answer it this way. But it will never come out.
Oh, dang. Okay, yeah.
It will never come out that way. So like, that's when I'm like, it's a lot easier said than done. I understand, because of public speaking has never been my thing, but it's, I'm getting, you know, I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm taking it as it is, and I'm happy that I'm able to like do some, you know.
Yeah, be putting those
really think about it, bro. We used to fight.
Yeah.
Not once we were at like matches.
Yeah.
Why weren't we nervous to fight? But we're super nervous to talk.
I mean, like, I don't know about you. I would get nervous. No, I got it.
But you know what? Yeah, I did get nervous, but not as bad as talking.
Yeah.
I would rather just keep quiet and just throw a shingazo or two. But talking, I'm more like, because sometimes, like I said, I don't want to sound like a total idiot.
Right.
Because regardless of what it is, us, we're our own worst critics.
Yeah.
And I come to a point where people have told me, Javi, you know what? You're far more than what you think you are.
Yeah.
Start approaching that. And I'm like, wow. And this is coming because, you know, where I work, not only do I talk to kids, I talk to some of the staff, and they're like highly educated. And they come from like these households of like, you know.
Bro, that's how I feel. Yeah, they come from money. It's
and perhaps some with money, some not, but the education is there. They hit the books, they've gone to like colleges, and I'm surprised sometimes that I'm able to hold a conversation with them.
Right.
And they themselves tell me, no, Javi, hey, you know what, you're overthinking.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, bro. But like, you come to figure out, this is what it helped me out, like at least being amongst that school. As that, no matter where we're from, we're not so far different. Because it takes that kind of approach, like, okay, we were brought up in the hood.
Yeah.
My brother was shot when he was 18. So we always had that, and shout out to my brother, because if it wasn't for him, like, I wouldn't have known how to approach the South Side in the 90s.
Yeah.
He gave me a sort of kind of mentality that you need to. You don't... Oh, it's not that you, I don't want it. No, you need to. You got to approach things. You got to approach people a certain way around that time. And my bro is my oldest brother.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he went through it. And he was the one teaching me that. And I'm like, you would assume, hey, well, we heard constantly gunshots, you know, deaths and all this.
Yeah.
But even if somebody is like middle class, and this is what I come to figure out, a person can be middle class or a little high class. Like, per se, not to disrespect, hey, I was a custodian. But let's say when I was a custodian, my dad was proud.
Yeah.
No, I could have been a garbage man, and my dad would have been proud because I didn't choose the mafioso life. I didn't choose a thug life. Yeah, I didn't choose none of the gangster life.
Yeah.
But talking to them won't kind of assume like, man, imagine having parents that you will never like live up to their standards.
Right.
Say their parents are doctors, lawyers, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that constant dictatorship of a... You may see pictures of them like traveling Disneyland and stuff like that, but man, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
You will come to figure out if we switch, walk a mile in my shoes kind of thing, that I wouldn't be able to walk a mile in theirs.
Right.
And when I call back and, hey, give me back my shoes, they'll probably be like, nah, you know what? Beans and rice every other day is not so bad. Like, yeah, well, you know what? Your parents are getting like,
yeah,
like you're not constantly like they're not satisfied. You got to live up to their expectations. You can't hang around with the people you connect.
Right,
you can't fall in love with like with a certain person unless they approve. Think about it.
Yeah,
and we think we have it bad.
Yeah,
I mean sometimes we always assume that we're looking on the we're on the outside looking in when it's the same thing the other way around. You know, so that's when I'm like we connect because sometimes us as society we tend to pick something to separate us. And right there, I'm like, yeah, we're not that far different. Maybe we come from different backgrounds, but the same emotions, the same depressions, the same anger, it's there.
Yeah.
But it's up to us to connect, but we figure some way, somehow, to just separate us.
What's the biggest issue you've encountered? Other than that, I know we talked about that social media issue, which to me was, that's enlightening, because that's like, I see that a lot, especially like once you're doing other things and getting into uncomfortable situations, getting out of your comfort zone. But have you ever had someone, you know, kind of talk back to you, get all rude, get all crazy with you?
Like on the art world?
Yeah, in the art world, like anything stressful.
I mean, criticism. Okay. Some, I know, like I said, constructive criticism has been there and it's helpful.
Yeah.
But some actually just pick and just pretty much crap all over you. And to the point that you're like, hey, this is just more bullying than just criticism. Yeah. And you have to keep your composure because, you know what, you don't want to rub people the wrong way because connections and so on and so forth. Like, but either in that, it's just been pretty much that. Like, it's been, I understand that some just feel a certain way. Yeah. Like I said, once again, because how is it that I did it so early and boom, things are just happening. And I understand maybe that little sting, depending on the individual. That's
where. So, question: Has it? Have you noticed it being more people that you know that you kind of like grew up with, or more outside people, with strangers?
A little bit of both. I mean, I had some old friends and family members that sometimes are like, I mean, there are some that, how I say, they just poke fun at you.
Yeah,
but. Now that they've seen me getting interviews and stuff like that, and it's still in its infancy if you really think about it. But that approach, how I said, te crees Picasso, stuff like that, you know? And then others also, like, people that I don't know. And perhaps people that I don't know, it's more, okay, fine, you know, who cares?
Right.
But when it's somebody that you knew, like old friends and stuff like that, you're like, man, what, my bad. And you tend to feel like you're doing something wrong, but you're not. Hey, you're doing something out of the norm. Like, it's out of your comfort zone, out of what you thought society was going to give you.
Right.
Because we always tend to, like blame society or blame us for being who, like, hey, no. You busted out of that bubble, and you kind of came to figure out that if you do put in the work and put in your heart and soul into it, you'll start doing something. And people are not going to be happy with that.
Right.
I mean, I wish a lot, some of the people were along for the ride as I'm doing it. But then you come to a point where you're just already far off that where they got off. You're like, man, I really didn't need them.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. We good. We're going to be okay. You know, regardless of what it is, they're going to talk about you good or bad, no matter what.
Yeah.
You could be Jesus himself, and somehow they'll find something and look it up. There you go. Man, and they'll find something.
It's crazy to me.
Exactly. And you can be giving out to the poor and donations and stuff like that, but some way, somehow, something
you're
is
doing
gonna
it, yeah,
you're gonna do something wrong.
Damn.
You just gotta keep pushing forward, bro.
Yo, heck yeah. Yo, let's pause real quick.
All right.
I wanna make sure I got everything.
All right, cool.
Damn.